Clutter's Dream and Let's Go Champ have come to the front from Sunny May, then Grivet, they're tracked by Nick Rocket, Arctlands.
Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
We'd like to thank Gulfstream Park for their sponsorship of this program and some of the other programming and events here at Capital OTB throughout the championship meet. The Gulfstream Park Championship meet runs now through the early April Florida Derby weekend, featuring high-quality racing throughout. Once again, we'd like to thank Gulfstream Park for their sponsorship. Good morning. Welcome to Racing Across America on this Sunday morning. I'm Seth Merrow in the studio. Thanks for joining us. As always, Sunday morning featuring some recaps of some of the stakes action and, of course, nice stakes action yesterday at various venues, highlighted by Tampa and the Tampa Bay Derby. So we'll talk that and more, obviously. A little bit later on, we will be joined by our friend Steve Bick, again, as he continues his cross-country and back sojourn with the radio show. The past few days this week and the weekend doing the radio show out in Vegas for the National Handicapping Championship. So I thought we'd get a little update on that fun. And again, miss being out there. We were out there for a couple of years covering it. And it's described as the horse players convention. And I think that's apt. And if you get a chance to go out, there are a lot of contests online. And if you're not a contest player, give it a try. It's fun. But if you go out there, 770-some people were playing this weekend. They had the cut at the end of yesterday. So going into today, I think it's 78 was the cut. They'll play most of the day today and whittle it down to the top 10. And they'll play for a couple hours at the end of the day to decide who walks away with $800,000. And as I said yesterday, there's a prize pool for everybody who makes it today. They walk away with some money. Number 78 is going to walk away with over $12,000, but $800 for the winner, $250,000 for second, a couple hundred thousand for third, and then it whittles its way down to the 78. For the folks who didn't make the cut, there's a consolation contest today that I think offers maybe $20,000 or $30,000 in prizes. So everybody sticks around and plays today as well. And Steve does a great job with the radio show out there. I've been listening the past couple of days and gotten home and listened to the end of the show as well. I said yesterday, stay tuned to us here on the network, watch the racing here, fire up Capital OTB on your computer and pull up Steve on another browser. And it's fun. It's maybe a little bit analogous to being at the racetrack with your friends, because Steve will sit there and pull over some of the players, but also there are just people in the room who are friendly or have been former players or former champions even. Rich Eng has been sitting with them regularly. We used to have Rich on the show fairly often when we did a weekday morning show. But they'll sit there and they'll look at, oh, this race is coming up next. How would people play this in the contest? And they'll do a little handicapping and whatnot. And as they say, they bring players over and talk about how they're doing and strategy. And it's a lot of fun to listen to. And as I say, you go to stevebick.com. And then there's a Listen Live link, and you can pick that up. But we'll talk to Steve a little bit later on and get his take on the first couple of days, the contest. And I will say, congratulations to Francis Bustani, who I believe, if I read the bio right after day one, a dentist, maybe even a retired dentist from Florida, or from Louisiana, excuse me, from Louisiana, I believe, who led after day one. And still leads after day two, middle of the day, late in the day yesterday. He led by about $70, which is crazy. The folks made up a little ground on him late, so he now has $291.20. Second place is 278. So they've closed the gap. But boy, he's had a couple of really, really phenomenal days, for which I think there's some type of bonuses. You lead at the end of day one, the end of day two. I think there are bonuses for those as well. So he's had a couple of nice days. And again, Steve talked to him. I know the end of Friday. I don't know whether he was over with Steve yesterday, but we'll get some insight into Francis Bustani, the day one, day two leader. All right. Other than that, let me remind you that today here at the Clubhouse Racebook, there is a $100 knockout challenge. So you can come down here and have a little extra fun. We always say go over to Fredella's, grab some lunch. You can sit at the bar. You can sit at a table, get a carol. But it's always fun to watch the races and have a group of people around and cheer along with them. We'd love to have you down here today. And you can have a little extra fun with the $100 knockout challenge. And again, I mentioned it for the last few days. This weekend, for me as a college basketball fan, has become just as fun. It's like the real kickoff to the tournament, because you have all the conference tournaments this weekend, this week into the weekend, that have been a lot of fun to watch. And you can see all that college basketball action down here today as well. But at the end of today, they will firm up the field for the big tournament. And next week, you can have a lot of fun down here as well. We'll have some promotions and contests tied into college basketball and the tournament here at the Clubhouse Racebook as well. So keep that in mind. 7-Eleven Central Avenue in Albany. All right, let's take a look. Tampa Bay Derby, they had a nice full field. Oof, it was, I took a shot. I mean, I said handicapping show yesterday. I said when I talked to Ren Carruthers on Racing Across America, and then again yesterday afternoon as we were kind of leading into it live, Tappet Trice was clearly the horse to beat. But if you were going to take a shot against, maybe this was the day, stakes debut, first time around two turns, Tappet Trice, a $1.3 million purchase. Mandy Pope and Gainsway. Gainsway, the breeder, they hold a little piece of the horse after it sells. Mandy Pope has become kind of a force in the game. She sounded like she was thrilled after the race, and certainly you should be when you jump in, spend the kind of money she's been spending over the last few years, and you get a pretty good-looking Derby contender. But came in 2-for-3, ran third in the debut, obviously got some good education out of that, won the next start to break the maiden, then went down to Gulfstream, and in the race prior to yesterday looked just phenomenal in an optional claimer, non-winners of one other than. But all of those were at a one-turn mile. Yesterday, Tampa, which can be a little bit quirky, two-turn race. I thought, I'm going to take a little shot with Prairie Hawk. Now, Prairie Hawk was number 12. Safi Joseph runner that clunked in the Sam Davis, but you can see there, number 12, right up in the mix, and I thought, oh, I'm going to do it, and then just could not make it work. But look on the outside, Tappet Trice just gets in gear and floats by these. There I am fading to fourth. That said, I also thought Classic Car Wash, who ran second, was interesting for Mark Cassie. So at 28-1, Prairie Hawk was right there at the top of the stretch and just couldn't, you know, keep sustain. But it was a good effort in career start number 5. 28-1, he winds up fourth. Classic Legacy for Bill Mott in career start number 5 runs third. And again, Classic Car Wash, career start number 5 for that one. I thought that horse was interesting coming out of the third in the Sam Davis for Mark Cassie. So a 13-1, he runs second. But at 1-2, Tappet Trice gets it done under Luis Saez, and Luis Saez was effusive afterwards. Got off to a little bit of a slow start, and so had to kind of work a trip out. And Luis said, you know, once we got some spots and got going, he kind of, the quotes in the Racing Forum article after the race were kind of taking him through different spots in the race, and Luis was clearly happy with the results there and the effort. And obviously, it visually very appealing with a nice late run on the outside there. Mark Cassio at Classic Car Wash said, I thought I had a one. Where'd this horse come from? And so Tappet Trace. Chart margin was a couple of lengths, 1 to 2. So again, $3. But with the Mark Cassio horse underneath, $3 horse on top, you got a $22 exacto with Classic Car Wash there. 88 buyer. The win at Gulfstream last time was a 92, so went backwards a little bit, but still not an eye-popping buyer, an 88, but certainly very respectable, legit for a three-year-old at this time of year in the current, you know, situation with three-year-olds over the past few years. Forte, who is also a Pletcher trainee, like Tappet Trice, Todd Pletcher is heading to the Derby loaded at this point, but Forte, after the win last week, you know, steps in and reestablishes and validates the championship two-year-old season. He had a 98 buyer last week. So again, buyers are so potent that I think in everybody's mind, Forte's still at the head of the class, but Tappet Trice stepped right up there. That was Todd Pletcher's sixth win in the Tampa Bay Derby. That is mind-boggling. Pletcher, after the race, said the longer he goes, the better he'll get. And, you know, on that front, it looks like the bluegrass is next. You know, in this day and age, and Pletcher's one of those trainers that likes plenty of time between races, it's conceivable the horse could go right here, from here to the Kentucky Derby. But this is a horse that this was only the fourth career start. First time, as I said, around two turns. First stakes try. And so it absolutely makes sense. Pletcher saying probably headed to the bluegrass on April 8th. So gives him another start, more experience, another two-turn start, obviously, but more importantly, a mile and an eighth in prep to move to that mile and a quarter on the first Saturday in May. So it looks like Tappet Trace perhaps headed next to that bluegrass. Racing Form article yesterday noted that I think it was the Racing Form article. I'm giving them credit now because I read a few articles, but one way or the other, only one horse has successfully made the Tampa Bay Derby, Kentucky Derby leap as a winner of both of those races. 2007, Street Sense won the Tampa Bay Derby and then went on to win the Kentucky Derby. We'll see if Tappet Trice can add to that legacy, as it were. Nice performance yesterday by Tappet Trice in the Tampa Bay Derby. You know, the highlight of a really nice card for them. And let's take a look at some of the other action on the card yesterday at Tampa. The Florida Oaks, the three-year-old fillies on the grass. I liked Free Look from Chad Brown. Irod Ortiz was on board. The 10 post position was not a bonus. I said that when I handicapped, and it kind of played out that way with Free Look back of the pack and then went just too wide. Free Look's the number 10, and you can kind of see just way back and way out, had to go way outside. But Mission of Joy makes the move here under Antonio Gallardo. Alpha Bella, who was very logical from Pletcher, runs second and a close-up second. Juniper's Moon and then Free Look. And again, Free Look was way in the back of the pack, swung out way wide. And just, you know, when you do that, you have to have crazy momentum. And you could tell at the top of the stretch and after a few strides, Free Look was not going to get up there. So to make it for fourth, I think, was pretty good, given the trip there as the 9-5 favorite. But a 5-1 Mission of Joy gets it done for Grand Motion. It was only the fourth career start. Debuted up at Woodbine on the synthetic sprinting 6.5 and didn't show much that day. Then came down to Tampa and just blossomed. And Grand Motion after the race was giving credit to his assistant over at Tampa. And they said, you know, when the horse got down to Tampa, she's just been doing very well and has kind of been surprising Graham a little bit. But since arriving at Tampa, broke the maiden and then won an optional claim or non-winners have won. So had the ninth place finish up at Woodbine, and then a couple of wins since arriving down at Tampa and moving to grass. Lasix added for the performance yesterday. 12-1 on the morning line, went off at 5-1, gets it done at a $12 mutual. Alpha Bella, again, I put free look on top. But I said that outside post position is dicey for me. If you were looking for a more cozy post position, maybe you land on Alpha Bella. I had Ren Carruthers on yesterday. She liked Alpha Bella. And as you saw on the stretch run there, just a neck back. That was a nice performance at 5-2 as the second choice for the Todd Pletcher runner. So, I'm giving a pass to free look because of the post position situation. I think she's going to turn out to be a nice little three-year-old filly on the grass. Alpha Bella certainly will be. But Grand Motion clearly has a nice little three-year-old filly. It was only the fourth career start, stakes debut, Mission of Joy getting it done yesterday. As I say, Grand Motion and Antonio Gallardo. A little bit earlier on the card, it was the Hillsboro. I went with Shantasara, Chad Brown runner, who went off as the even money favorite. That's the way it played out. The betting public had it right. Shantasara had to work a little bit. Chart margin, though, ends up over a length. Shantasara is the number six horse, but Scottish Star, who was the third choice at 9-2, kind of gives this one a little bit of a duel. Surprisingly, comes up late to make it a little bit interesting for second and third. But Shantasara, as you can see there, length and a quarter chart margin. As I say, even money favorite, so pays $4. Chad Brown, this race has been run, according to what I read in the racing forum, has been run 11 times. Chad Brown, he's won six of them. So adds another one to the resume there. Shantasara, Irod Ortiz on board. Shantasara, owned by Michael Dubb and Company, ran second in the previous start to Queen Goddess in the Pegasus Philly and Mayor Turf, and then follows up with the Hillsboro over at Tampa yesterday. Let's move on. And again, a little bit earlier on the card, as I say, it was a very nice and a fun card at Tampa yesterday. There were some short prices, though, obviously. Tappet Trice was one of those, but at the top of the stretch, it was a little bit interesting with Prairie Hawk. This one, the challenger yesterday for the older horses, Skippy Longstocking was going to be the favorite. I thought Classic Causeway, having a 2-for-2 record at Tampa last year, having won both the Sam Davis and the Tampa Bay Derby, I thought might be able to steal it on the front end for Ken McPeak and Julian Lepereau. But Classic Causeway scratched. At that point, it seemed like it was really falling into Skippy Longstocking's pocket here, as it were. And at 1-2, that's the way it played out. Pretty easy victory for Skippy Longstocking. Again, Irod Ortiz on board. Skippy Longstocking, number two. Tax, the nice runner from Danny Gargan, Randy Hill and Company, the million-dollar earner. Tax, the number seven, gets up for a second. Surly Furious runs third at 26-1. And again, nice little duel there for second and third, with the long shot 26-1 just getting headed by Tax. But an easy 3-1/4 length victory for the 1-2 favorite, Skippy Longstocking, $3. Safi Joseph, who was actually there at Tampa. Todd Pletcher, if you were watching races all afternoon, you saw Todd in the paddock over at Gulfstream. So he was watching Tappet Trice from Gulfstream. Safi Joseph, though, was over at Tampa in the winner's circle after this race. And he was quoted in the Racing Forum article, follow-up article, saying a couple of options next for Skippy Longstocking. They'll either head over to Oaklawn for the Oaklawn Handicap on April 22nd, or they'll wait until Derby Week at Churchill and go on the Ali Sheba. So we'll see where Skippy Longstocking winds up. But again, just kind of had the edge on that group yesterday on paper, and that's the way it played out. And finally, we'll look at one more yesterday. And again, played out kind of logically in the Columbia for the three-year-olds on the turf, a division I like quite a bit. And again, I was stuck outside, but I landed on Talk of the Nation, as did everybody else at 6-5. Lightly raced runner for a Shug, broke the maiden in the career debut on dirt at Aqueduct, came down and tried dirt again at Gulfstream, and kind of tossed in a dud. Then beginning of February. They came over to Tampa, tried the turf, and the horse seemed to have found a home, either at Tampa or on the turf, but that was the situation again yesterday. So whether he likes one or the other or both, he got what he liked again yesterday. Talk of the Nation, the number 10 at 6-5, gets it done under Sammy Camacho. Running second was Mo Stash, the number 9 horse. I had the 1-2 finishers, but again, a lot of the betting public did too. He got a little bit of a price. I mean, Mo Stash was the third choice at 4-1. And Western Yarn runs third, and Freedom Trail, who was the 2-1 second choice, ran fourth in there. But Talk of the Nation, again, relatively lightly raced. This was only the fourth career start. It was only the second start on turf. That turf race last time, he won by 4. He wins this stakes debut by 2.5. Again, subdivision I like quite a bit. We can look forward to summertime Hall of Fame, and this one being a shug horse, we'll probably see Talk of the Nation duking it out in that race, you would think, all things staying well for that runner. But it was a nice performance there for a very lightly raced 3-year-old who seems to have now taken to the turf. So again, that I would expect to be one of the players in that subdivision that, again, I really like quite a bit. Because, as I say all the time, it seems like almost every racing venue from the early part of the year through the end of the year has some kind of stakes action for the 3-year-olds on the turf, and they start to sort themselves out. And as you get into summer, some of the better performers start to go head to head. It's a lot of fun, and that horse will be a player there. All right, let's go over to Aqueduct and take a look at the correction. Another horse that kind of stood out on paper, and that's the way it played out. Rosa Veloce started the career. Our friend Tim McCoy and Blue Streak Racing. We had Tim on talking about Blue Streak, and we talked a little Rosa Veloce too, I'm pretty sure, when he was on with us up at Saratoga a couple seasons ago. Subsequently, this horse was claimed away. Was claimed, a couple of times after that? Now in the barn of Rob Atris, claimed at the end of last Saratoga's meet, was claimed for $45,000, and obviously has turned out to be a clever claim. Rob Atris was quoted in the racing forum as saying, "I wasn't quite sure about this claim, but the owner talked him into it, and again, it's turned out to be a nice claim. Won an optional claimer last time, did it pretty solid buyer, had a triple-digit buyer win back in November. Off of those, goes off as the 45-cent to a dollar favorite, and obviously looks it here, getting it done. Rosa Veloce, chart margin 5.25. Prodigy Doll second. Foyette runs third in there. My picks were 1, 2, 3, and we wound up with one. The triple couldn't have been, wasn't bad. You got $14. You got almost $15 for 50 cents on the try with the $2.90 winner. So nice claim there back in November. Again, since that November claim, I think I said 45. He actually, that was the claim prior. They claimed this one actually in September for 32. Since then, four wins and a second place finish. That's a pretty good claim, including yesterday, a nice stakes win as well. I have not seen the buyer interested to see there, because as I say, three starts back, we're in a nice 102. Rob Atris, the trainee, again, Manny Franco was on board. Rob Atris, boy, he's on a roll currently. He entered the day with a 5-race win streak in New York. And according to Dave Grenig of the Racing Forum, the record in New York for a win streak, not consecutive races, but consecutive for the trainer. So he won 5 over a couple of days coming into yesterday. He put another one, another notch in the belt early in the day, Rob Atris, to go 6 for his prior 6 in New York. But then in race 6, he had that win streak snapped. So Rosa Veloce didn't add to that. That had he won the 6, this would have been the one to tie the record. But again, he had the record snapped a little earlier in the day. So he won a couple on the day. But the record, the streak eluded him. However, I went back and looked just to see over the last few days. Rob Atras in New York, 8 for his last 11 after Rosa Veloce. So as they say, Rob Atras just on a tear in New York. And he commented on it in the Racing Form article after this. He said, you know, you can't get too high on the highs, you can't get too low on the lows, and sometimes there's a streak where they're just winding up in the right spots. And he had mentioned before he got on this streak, they had a long period where they were just hitting some seconds and thirds and, you know, not quite getting it done. So, again, it's just that when you're playing, and it noted, Rob Atras plays a lot in the claiming game, and you're playing the claiming game, it can get streaky like that. In the Gulfstream Park Stakes, the Hurricane Birdie, once again, some of the stakes action yesterday, as they say, turned out to be a little chalky and logical. And in the Hurricane Birdie yesterday at Gulfstream, it was Frank's Rocket getting it done. There was a DQ behind. Number 6, R. Adios Jersey, ran second, and DeFerros, the number 5, ran third. Those two wound up getting switched up after the race, but there was no sweat on any of those counts for a Frank's Rocket. At 2-5, gets it done. Chart margin is 8 lengths. Bill Mott, Frank Fletcher racing, as the name Frank's Rocket would lead you to believe. And on board, it was Junior Alvarado. So, again, no shock in the Hurricane Birdie. And a little bit later on the card down at Gulfstream, we had some of the ladies sprinting on the grass in the Captiva Island. And I will congratulate our friend Steve Bick. You know, he was talking about this race on his radio show yesterday from Vegas. He liked Little Jewel. I had Trained Artemis. Trained Artemis was the 7-5 favorite. Trained Artemis is going to run second in here. But with a nice late run, number 2, Little Jewel gets it done. And as I say, Mr. Bick had that one, and had that one at a generous 8-1. Little Jewel had come back from you can see sneaking up the rail here. This is a really gutsy and nice ride. Sneaks up the rail and gets it done. Little Jewel had debuted in 2020. The debut effort in June of that year was the last this horse was seen until January of this year. So 2.5 years on the sidelines. Comes back at Gulfstream, runs second in the seasonal debut, the return effort. Second start back, a nice win, improving numbers that jumped up. So fourth start of the career, third start back, looked very good yesterday, getting it done. And as I say, nice ride, and you wound up with $18 there for the winner of the Captiva Island. Carlos Vecareza, the trainer. And if you were on it like Mr. Bick, I congratulate you. That was a nice little 8-1 price there in the stake at Gulfstream. Nice stake yesterday as well at Oaklawn, the Azari. It was the return of Clairiere. I have always liked Clairiere, so I landed on her again, but I had Secret Oath right underneath. Secret Oath, who ran so well last year at Oaklawn for the coach, Wayne Lucas. Last year at Oaklawn, Secret Oath won the Martha Washington and the Honey Bee. On her way to trying the boys in the Arkansas Derby, and she ran an okay third in there behind Cyberknife and Barbara Road. But again, Secret Oath obviously likes the home cooking down in Arkansas. Clairiere was just way back early. Joel Rosario was on board. Clairiere makes a late run to get up for second, but by then Secret Oath was off to the races. Secret Oath's the number 1 horse here. Tyler Gaffleone on board. You can see in the blue silks, just kind of floats on up and on by. Number 3 is Clairiere, and you can see her making up ground, but you know it's too late, way too late, to the point where you wonder, did she get second? But by a head she does under Interstate Daydream. So it's Wayne Lucas on And Tyler Gaffleon with a Secret Oath, continuing her, you know, love of Oaklawn. She's now 4-for-5 at Oaklawn with the third against the boys in the Kentucky, the Arkansas Derby, the only blemish on her Oaklawn record. So off of that, and Clarier, again, was just way back early, and there are obviously bigger and better things going forward for these horses. You would assume the Apple Blossom would be one of those, but I think both of these horses, and Interstate Daydream, who I thought yesterday could be a little bit intriguing too. They're all interesting players now in this, you know, filly and mare, older filly and mare division going forward. All right, let's also take a look at the West Coast out at Santa Anita yesterday. We did have a grade one in the Beholder Mile. Fillies and mares going a mile, as the name would suggest. We're going to watch a shipper come in from Oaklawn. And I guess Brad Cox said, I'm not waiting for the Apple Blossom for my grade one shot. I'm going to go out and try the mile out in Southern California. So at Santa Anita yesterday, Amore coming in after winning the Bayacoa at Oaklawn for Brad Cox. Flavian Pratt on board. Amore is the number 5 horse. Prior to the Bayacoa in February on New Year's Eve, it won the Pago Hop at Fairgrounds. So another horse that's going to be an interesting player in this older filly and mare division. You can see grinding, getting it done over Fun to Run. Fun to Run was the 4-to-5 favorite. Amore went off at 7-to-1. Brad Cox and a couple stakes victories. I guess out there in Southern California, they're not as high on Brad Cox necessarily. Fun to Run, certainly, though, deserved favorite from Bob Baffert. That one was coming in off a win in the Santa Monica in February, a win in the La Brea in December. So perfectly logical. But when you looked, talent-wise, certainly off the last race, Amore was kind of right there with Fun to Dream, and you wound up with $17 and change. Fun to Dream was the 4-to-5 favorite, and he wound up with just about $55 on the exacta for those two. Little Brad Cox, Bob Baffert exacta, $55. Not bad. All right. I'm just trying to decide here. Well, I was going to take a break, but before we take the break, why don't we update you and then we can take a break and go right to Mr. Bick. But update you on Derby and Oaks future odds. We talked yesterday with Kevin Kirstein from Churchill Downs and went through some of the interesting players, maybe some interesting long shots. Derby pool closes at 6 today. The Oaks pool at 6:30. And I think the Oaks Derby double is also at 6:30. So you have until then to jump in, and I would think you can kind of jump in at any time today. You certainly wanted to wait on these weekends. You always want to wait until, you know, the end of the day on Saturday, because typically there is some kind of Derby prep race, and so you want to wait for that and you know, make sure that you see the results there, so you're not jumping on some horse who tosses in a complete dead. Sometimes, you know, a second or third place finish that is encouraging can get you a little extra in the odds, but you don't want a horse that's up the track. Dan in the control room was alerting me, and I'm just pulling up news now. Speaking of, you don't want to play Arabian Night, because the news has come out that Arabian Night is off the Derby trail. So I'm looking at the live odds here on the Derby. They still have him listed at 6-to-1. So I'm not sure if betting today he'll be listed as a scratch or not. But don't jump in on Arabian Night, obviously. But looking down, I was just curious, the odds, the live odds, where Tappet Trice would be after yesterday in relation to Forte, and sure enough, as I said, you know, given the 88 buyer as compared to the 98 for Forte last week, Tapit Trice is at 7-1, and Forte is at 7-2, half the price. So again, the betting public tilting still towards the two-year-old champ who made the three-year-old debut so successfully last year. Again, Arabian Knight was at 6-1. Just looking at who is taking the action at this point. 7-2 for Forte. Tapit Trice at 7-1. They're the only, they're the trio under 10-1. On the Oaks side of things, Darth Vader is 16-1. I'm not sure off the quirky win I would want 16-1. You know, I say it, I'm looking for 25-1 or better. So who's your filly at 5-1 seems short as well. Julius Shining, 18-1, a little bit short there. Money's Gold to me is interesting. And the line, I think, was a little bit better. Currently at 20-1, and I think the morning line was a little bit, yeah, we were 30-1. So at 20-1, Money's Gold is right on the borderline. And again, you can wait until the end of the day to see if that shifts at all. Favorite is Wet Paint at 7-2, and Wonder Wheel sits at 9-1. I will say, all others in 2023, there's still the possibility you could get some late bloomers that may be interesting and get into the gate. All others, 15-1 on the Kentucky Oaks pool and 14-1 on the Kentucky Derby pool. I think I'll jump in for a little bit of that action before the end of the day. And you're getting more value now than you've gotten in previous years because they've expanded the number of individual entrants. So you're less likely to get a little nice little handful of all others, but I still think the possibility exists for a few of them to sneak in. And if they are late bloomers and they sneak in, they'll be late bloomers sneaking in because they've run well. So again, 14-1 in one pool, 15-1. And again, don't forget, we talked about it yesterday. If you do like one of those shorter priced horses in one pool or the other, maybe play around with the double and try to find some horses in you know, the other pool and match up. But then you can take a look at, and there's future exactas as well, and they have grids where you can look at you know, the probable pays for those and see if that makes sense also. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, live from Vegas, we'll be joined by our friend Steve Bick, who's out there covering the National Handicapping Championship. All of that and more right after this. Stay tuned.
This is a championship meet. All the best jockeys in the world are here, and I'm excited to ride against them. You get to watch some really incredible, talented athletes out there.
To us, it's a place to be in the winter.
I love Gulfstream Park because of the racing.
The palm trees, the beach is right here. The horse racing is some of the best in the country.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
No matter where in the world you are, the excitement of wagering on horse racing is just a click away. You'll get live streaming, past performances, race replays, our virtual tote board, analysis and selections from professional handicappers, a simple, safe, and secure wagering platform, and best of all, you get track prices. CapitalOTBBet.com. Bet any place, anytime at CapitalOTBBet.com. And be sure to download our new mobile app from the iTunes Store or Google Play.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. Still trying to make contact with Mr. Bick. It's awful early, although he's up at the crack of dawn. But we will continue to try that. In the meantime, I'll do a little handicapping, and when we feel we can make contact, maybe we'll take another break and do that and get the live update from Vegas. And in fact, we are getting that. So why don't we take another quick break, and we'll try Mr. Bick again, and then we'll come back with a Vegas update. Stay tuned.
What if there was a way to become a better horse player, to have a better knowledge of the game, to be more successful? What if there were a way to take what you've learned, what you know, and make better decisions, better choices? In horse racing, knowledge is a powerful tool. Race results and replays, past performances and live streaming, wagering from all your digital devices. Capital OTB. Become a better horse player.
This is a championship meet. Yeah. All the best jockeys in the world are here, and I'm excited to ride against them.
We back.
And you get to watch some really incredible, talented athletes out there.
Yeah. To us, it's a place to be in the winter.
I love Gulfstream Park because of the racing.
The palm trees, the beach is right here. The horse racing is some of the best in the country.
A lot of good horses come out of here. And if you want to go to the next level, Gulfstream Park was the place to come.
I remember the first time I came to Gulfstream. It was like this big fairy tale place. All the history. And all these great horses, trainers, jockeys. It was everything that I ever dreamed of.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. As promised before the break, joined now by our friend Steve Bick, as I said earlier, continuing the coast-to-coast-to-coast-to-coast horse racing sojourn now in Las Vegas. And Steve, it's been a lot of fun. I've been listening the past couple of days and been recommending people fire it up and listen as well. But good morning.
Seth, good morning. Good morning, everybody. Hi, honey.
It's the wave to Tina. We like that. It always. Before we get into Vegas, I want some thoughts because we showed it a little bit earlier, but give us your thoughts on Tampa Bay Derby and Tap It Trice.
Well, visually, it's a nice effort because he certainly looked like he was hopeless, into the turn and even on the turn and, hell, even at the top of the stretch. But he finished well. The race came back, moderately slow. He's a work in progress. I think it's a lot to ask. I think they'll be hard pressed, not to take another step and get him another start. Mandy Pope, she's put so much in. I imagine she wants to get to the Derby with him. Seems like a maybe more because he's a Tappet. Maybe he's better off pointing for Belmont. Wait and see. I thought it was okay. It's one of those performances that people ooh and ah, but then when you take it apart later on, you realize it was okay. I think he's going to be a nice horse, obviously, and he's now strung together three straight. But I don't know if he's a Derby prospect that you get real excited about.
I had kind of the same take. It was one of those races, visually you looked at it, and man, he came rolling and got up there. But then the number comes out, and it's an 88, and the betting public clearly is on board with that whole concept too, because last week, Forte with the 98, I just pulled up the live odds on the future pool. Forte's at 7-2. Tap It Trice is at 7-1. So clearly the betting public also is kind of thinking, nice horse, but that it wasn't necessarily a performance that jumps off the page.
Well, he's a work in progress. Long term, who knows? When you look at it a year from now, 2 years from now, who knows? He might end up having a fuller, more complete career even than Forte. Taking 3-1 on Forte for Derby seems insane, no. But. There's a lot of things that go on in the future wager that I find strange. To me, and you and I have discussed this a thousand times, to me, you want a horse that the public is confused about or that the public hasn't noticed. Maybe an allowance horse that is going to get a chance, let's say, in a couple of weeks in the Florida Derby or in the Louisiana Derby. You're not looking for a horse that is obvious to everybody. That's my philosophy, though. But there's people, in fact, I was talking about you earlier, because, you'll get to Derby and you might have tickets on 8, 9, 10 of the runners already that you touched on over the course of the 5 or 6 pools. So this is the best pool to play, by the way, because it's the Oaks. You got the Oaks pool as well, and you could play the Oaks Derby double tonight up until 6 o'clock.
Yeah, I took your lead. I had Kevin Kirstein on yesterday, and we were talking a little bit about that and maybe some strategy to play that Oaks Derby double as well. So, again, people, can hop in and take a look at those odds. The bigger pool has juiced up some odds on some of those other horses as well. All right, let's shift our attention out of Vegas and the National Handicapping Championship. Before we get to specifics, just a little overview. I pulled up the video you tweeted out maybe Thursday or early Friday, maybe. It was just kind of a pan of the room. New venue out there. I've been saying it the past couple of days. I miss being out there when we covered it. It literally is the Horse Players Convention. You have 700 and some people there who are all focused on handicapping and horse racing. And though it's a competition, it seems good-natured. And just give us the overview there and talk a little bit about the new venue.
Well, this is the fourth year. The venue's not new anymore. We've been here for 4 years now. I guess it's new because they slapped the horseshoe name on it. It took down the Bally's name. That makes it somewhat new. They're in the process, actually, of remaking the old Bally's. And, Horseshoe as an organization, as part of the Caesars, family of hotels and racetracks and casinos, they like horse racing. One of the nicest parts about involvement with Caesars and specifically with Horseshoe, they're into the game. And they like horse players, and they feel the game has got a good future. So that part of it is kind of cool. And being at a venue that's called Horseshoe, that's fun. But in terms of the event center, what's best about this and why they made the transition from the Treasure Island, Treasure Island's main ballroom just got too small for the event. We're up to 780 players. And one of the advantages of being in this gigantic room, it's one of the biggest, if not the biggest, room of its kind in Vegas, is that not only can it accommodate more players, but the players can bring spouses and friends. So everybody's got one or two friends with them, not everybody, but a lot. And so it makes for just a little bit more of a convivial atmosphere.
Yeah, and we were there the 2 years that were the transition. We were where you were the last time we went down for OTB TV to cover it, but we were there the year before, and that satellite room in the basement was not a good situation the last time at the other venue. Let's talk a little bit about the leaderboard here, and I was just kind of going over the leaders, and we've had some of these players on with us up in Saratoga. I have, certainly. Howard Kravitz, school teacher from Chicago, does the HHH podcast. He was in Saratoga last year, and we talked to him, and he's sitting at number 34. A.J. Benton, who was sitting number 2 after day 1 and flirted top 10 all day yesterday, number 59, makes the cut, but he has become a formidable contest player. But also, let's talk about the leader, Francis Bustani, who I understand a retired dentist. I pulled a picture off of your Twitter feed. You talked to him on a Friday afternoon, I know. He's just been phenomenal leading day 1 and day 2. And late yesterday, he was up by about $70. Now, subsequently, the field has caught up to him a little bit. But I have to admit, given the background I know about him, the little background I know about him so far, and what he's done day 1 and day 2, I'm kind of rooting for him to keep rolling.
Well, it's a great story. He missed it here last year, suffering from throat cancer, and had been, deathly ill, and had lost 50 or 60 pounds, and was not well. And he's rallied from that. And for him to put together the 2 days that he has is quite remarkable. He is very popular on the Louisiana horse racing circuit. He's very well known from Lafayette, and knows all the jocks, all the Cajun jockeys. Lovely, lovely guy. He and his wife Connie, and it would be a phenomenal story if he goes wire to wire. You mentioned the fact that he had built up about a $70 lead, and then Paul Kalia had a spectacular Saturday, and Kalia cut into the lead. And there was a point for those that were listening to us yesterday that we mentioned that Kalia had four optional plays that he had in hand, basically like in hockey, games in hand. And Doc Bustani had already used all of his 10 optionals. And so Kalia had a chance basically late in the day to, keep chipping away at the lead. And that's exactly what he did to pull within $13. Gary Fenton, whose name is very well known, certainly in California, partner with Billy Koch on Little Red Feather, and of course the president of the TOC, Thoroughbred Owners of California, Gary Fenton, right there in third. There's an amazing story involving Stephen Wells, who is not just sitting fifth, but tied for fifth with himself, because he had two entries, and he's done something very unusual, something that goes against the game strategy philosophy. He's basically played both of his ticket sets identically. And this is strange, because most players with two tickets, they they might start with the same picks, but then they will diverge. If one ticket gets hot with a long shot, you go on with that ticket, and the second ticket, then you play. At some point, you might start throwing out some long shots and try to get back with that ticket. This is a very different approach, and it's got the room buzzing. $239.70, so he's $51 behind, and it'll be interesting to see later this afternoon, early this morning, here in California, Vegas, if he splits those tickets up, or if he continues to do the same thing and potentially gets to the final table with two tickets, and then he might diverge. I'm looking forward to talking to him at some point, early on in the broadcast today. We'll start at about 2:00. So those are the top stories at the top half of the leaderboard. The rest of the group, going down to as low as $163, which was the cut line. There were a lot of tragic stories yesterday. Guys that were right on the cut line late in the day, and they got pushed down below and didn't make it to the semifinal today. There was actually, very interestingly, that last race at Golden Gate yesterday. You had that maiden special with a good sized field, and strangely, a horse that everybody was interested in, the winner ultimately, goes off at 8-1, but everybody was convinced that the horse was going to come down in price and instead went up. And a lot of people got off that two horse that could have gotten them, into the semifinal. So a lot of drama as always. There were very few cap horses. There was zero cap horses on Friday. And then today, yesterday, the cap horses, I think there were only three win caps and one place cap. So there were very few bombs that, created the kind of, hooting and hollering you look forward to. Today, we'll see. The drama is there if you know the stories, but the room has not been necessarily as electric as we've typically seen.
Yeah, as I was looking at that top 10, I saw the Stephen Wells, and clearly he was playing the same ticket because he's got the exact same amount of money. And as you say, normally if folks have two entries, they're going to play different horses. So I found that interesting and assumed he was just thinking, well, if I have a good day, I'm going to a good couple of days, good three, I collect a lot of money. But I thought, I'm not sure about this, but I thought after Kinchin doubled up on the final table a few years ago, I thought they changed that rule that you could only go once. And I'm wondering if he does go, if both entries get in, and that is the case, does he then also get like 11th money?
No, they changed the rule the other direction. The rule was in place that Kinchin, when he had the two tickets, couldn't come in.
Okay. Okay.
He could only use one. Then they subsequently changed it that if anybody did get to the final table with two tickets, they could play both.
Oh, well, then that will be, if he makes it, that it will be interesting to see what his strategy is then at that point. Very good. Yeah, and you talked about the cut, and I believe the cut was 78, and I looked down the list. Number 78 had $163.20. Number 79 had $162.70. 50 cents was the difference between getting to Sunday and not getting to Sunday. Oof, that had to be brutal for that person. Talk a little bit about the format today, because today these 78 people will play the most of the day, and then at the end of the day, the final table, what's that, a couple hours at the end of the day to sort things out?
The semifinalists to make the final table, they've got about 32 races that they can choose from. They make 10 plays during the semifinal, and then out of this list of 78, the top 10 scores will comprise the final table. At that point, they will play seven races, the Oaklawn 7th, Gulfstream 10th, Aqueduct 9th, Santa Anita 5th, Oaklawn 9th, Golden Gate 6th, Santa Anita 7th, and that's the format. The final table, the first post for final table is at 4:50, and the Santa Anita 7th is at 6:29. So at about, figure at about 6:45 Eastern time, we'll have a champion. The prize pool, just over $3 million. The winner, $800,000. Runner-up, $250,000. Third place finisher, $200,000. Fourth, $150,000. And fifth, $125,000. The prize pool actually grew quite a bit into the weekend, and everybody, even down to the 78th, gets at least $12,000, $12,050 to the 78th finisher. You mentioned A.J. Benton. A.J. Benton is here for the fourth year in a row. He has cashed a ticket every single year. He's been fifth, 12th, 59th, and whatever he's going to finish. So he is going to leave here having cashed a check every single year that he's competed in the NHC, which is I don't think there's anybody else anybody can think of that's done that. He's amazing. He's a forklift operator by day and a terrific guy.
At Walmart. And yeah, we've had him on up at Saratoga the last three, because he typically comes to Saratoga and spends a week. So I've had him over the last 3 years. Fun to talk to. And he's been, I think I pulled up a shot from Twitter. You talked to him the other day. The last couple of days, I think he's been over. We have a shot you took, Brian Troop, former winner. AJ's in the middle. And then Rich Eng has been sitting in with you, and that's been fun as well. And Brian has been funny, because you guys will be handicapping a race, and you can hear him going along, talking himself into one, and then he's off. He's off to the window to play that horse.
He has. He over 2 days, actually, Brian Troop, who won the contest in 2010, down from Toronto, and he's picked four $20 horses in six tries on the air, which I think everybody appreciates. He's been fun, and he's quite a character. It's kind of an unusual thing to have him. He's not the most camera ready or interview ready type, but he's had a lot of fun doing it, and we're happy to have him. And then you grab people as they come by. Rich Eng, of course, has been wonderful. Rich, with his new volume of Betting on Horse Racing for Dummies. Nick Tamaro was with us late yesterday. Nick, having his best showing ever. Right now he's sitting at 27th. Excited for Nick. He's more of a cash money player, BC kind of a player. He's coming off winning the Gotham Challenge 2 weeks ago. And Nick could be dangerous going forward. Clocker John, John Nichols, who we're very close to. John is sitting 39th. In fact, he's actually got both of his tickets. He's got one sitting at 39 and another one sitting at 44. So John's got some options going into today. Then some other dangerous names to watch for. Brett Weiner, who is a perennial on the circuit. He's sitting 24th. Paul Sherman, who has never won, he's a Hall of Famer, and he's been a perennial money earner at the NHC. He's 19th, and I would keep a close eye on Paul Sherman, one of the best players out there. All kinds of interesting. Whenever you look up and down this list, there's always some fun. There's always a number of fun stories.
And I've been saying it here on the air to people. Watch us on OTB TV and watch the races and have Capital OTB bet on the computer, but pull up another browser and listen to you. And I said earlier today, it's almost analogous to sitting with a bunch of friends at the racetrack, because you guys, you're pulling these people over, talking strategy. Before races go off, you guys are handicapping. It's just been a lot of fun. What time do you kick off today? And again, people can go to stevebick.com and click on the Listen Live link. But what time do you kick it off today?
We're going to shoot for about a 2 o'clock Eastern start.
And I will also congratulate you, because this was my second year participating. And I am jinxed. I have just whiffed in this NHC charity event. Yesterday I got, I think, one place price. But with about three races to go, you were sitting third. And then I think a bunch of people may have had Coupe tries harder. It seemed like that one moved some people ahead. But we talked a little bit earlier, the Captiva Island. Nice call there on Little Jewel at 8-1 that zoomed you up to, as I say, with about two races left.
Well, that kid riding for Carlo Vacareza,
yeah.
That was a daring ride on Little Jewel up the rail. That horse is an interesting story. Basically has come into the year off of a 900-day layoff. Debuted as a two-year-old, missed 3 years, and Vacareza stuck with her, and now she's broken a maiden, won an allowance, and won a stake. I thought she was the now horse in a suspect field in that sprint in the Captiva Island. The winner in the Gulfstream 12th was one of those ones you kick yourself a little bit afterward, because if you go and look, that horse was first off the claim, and the outfit has huge numbers. I don't have it in front of me. Go back and look. The outfit is clicking at like 38% first off the claim, and that horse was a terrific punch. I ran fourth in that race, and I with a pricey horse. And I realized afterward that I missed a huge opportunity with that winner, the 12th.
Yeah, it seems like, as I say, Coupe tries harder. There were a few people that were on board there. But I was rooting for you with a couple to go. You were sitting right there. And as I say, I was rooting for you because, again, I wasn't rooting for myself. That was brutal. And I had two or three really brutal trips as well. But going to be fun to catch the last day. Steve, again, doing a great job there. And touting people to listen this afternoon and into this evening to the last round of the NHC. So, again, have fun. Good luck to everybody out there, and we'll catch you again later.
I appreciate it. We'll do a recap tomorrow from here in Vegas and then head home. And then next week head to OBS for the OBS March sale, Florida Derby and Santa Anita Derby, as we start to turn the focus toward the Triple Crown season. But I've been on the road a month. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'll give folks a little heads up. We'll be sitting in together down at the Gulfstream Park Florida Derby weekend. So I'm looking forward to that as well.
Oh, that's right. I would have forgotten that. I'm glad you reminded me.
But again, appreciate it. Touting people to check you out and travel safe.
I appreciate it, Seth.
All right, Steve Bick live from Las Vegas as he continues, as they say, the coast-to-coast-to-coast-to-coast horse racing tour. You can catch him weekdays on Sirius and XM. But today, again, stevebick.com, and click on the Listen Live link. It's really a lot of fun because, again, it's like the horse players convention, and he's got the people cycling through, the players and some of the folks who are just kind of participating there and having some fun. It's worth a listen. All right, I'm going to wrap it up. We're late, but we're okay because post times have now shifted most of the tracks with daylight going a little longer. And so keep that in mind for this Sunday afternoon OTB Live. That means we'll kick off, and we have been for the last week or so, a little later than we have been for the past few months. But we'll be back in about an hour or so for OTB Live on a Sunday afternoon. A little Aqueduct, a little Gulfstream. We'll throw some Oaklawn into the mix perhaps as well. So all of that coming up a little bit later on. Don't forget, today here at the Clubhouse Racebook, there's a $100 knockout challenge. We'd love to have you stop on by and watch the races. And again, catch some of those final college basketball tournaments, league tournaments, and maybe grab a little something to eat down here as well. That's all available to you here at the Clubhouse Racebook this afternoon, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. Otherwise, wrapping it up for Racing Across America, Seth Merrow in the studio. Thanks for joining us. Be back in about an hour or so for OTB Live. We'll see you then. We'd like to thank Gulfstream Park for their sponsorship of this program and some of the other programming and events here at Capital OTB throughout the championship meet. The Gulfstream Park Championship Meet runs now through the early April Florida Derby weekend, featuring high-quality racing throughout. Once again, we'd like to thank Gulfstream Park for their sponsorship.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.